thank you guys for coming out. If you're here in person, it's good to see you. And thank you for tuning in online. If you're watching online, my name is Wade. If it's your first time tuning in, we're glad you're here. And welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. Let me go ahead and open us up in prayer, and we'll get right into tonight's message. God, I just thank you for the message you gave me for tonight. And Lord, I just pray for everybody that's here and everybody that's watching that you would just open our hearts and minds, Lord, to receive what it is that you're saying to us. And God, I just pray that you'd give us the courage to actually apply these things to our lives so that we can be the followers of you that we're supposed to be. And then we can be the witnesses, God, that you've called us to be and lead more people to you. And Lord, we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for that. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, we've mostly been talking about sharing our faith, you know, being a witness like we're called to be, and just pretty much telling other people what Jesus has done in our lives. And last week, we mainly focused on two different ways that we shouldn't share the gospel. You know, one of them, the first one we talked about was, you know, we shouldn't glamorize the gospel and, you know, offer people a fake version of the gospel and tell them, you know, when you come to Christ, all your problems are over, because that's just not true. And the other one we talked about is we shouldn't try to scare people into following Christ with condemnation or, you know, threatening them with going to hell or something like that. Because as we looked in the scriptures last week, it plainly says that Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn anybody. He came to save everybody. So there shouldn't be a one way or the other. We shouldn't promise them something that the gospel's not. And we shouldn't tell them any kind of condemnation, because it's not that either. And I had a whole different message for tonight, but God, he brought me back around to the first one that we talked about last week. You know, how we shouldn't present a fake gospel, you know, and tell people just give your heart to Jesus and you'll never have problems again, because like I said, that's just not true. And I think God wanted me to talk a little bit more about that tonight. And a few other things too. So we'll just get to the other message I had next week. But like I said, if we tell people to just come to Christ and everything's going to be hunky-dory and you're not going to have problems, you know, that's not even what Jesus said. Jesus said himself in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he said, in this world, you are going to have trouble. And he said, these things I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus, he never told us that once we come to him and follow him, that we're not going to have problems. He told us we will have problems. But he's already overcome the things that we're going to face. So when we come to him, he'll help us through them. So we are going to have trouble. But when we present a gospel like that, you know, that they're not going to have trouble, when we present a gospel like that to people and promise them a fantasy life where there are no problems and everything is perfect, you know, when they go home and their problems are still coming and things are still falling apart, that don't build their faith. What that winds up doing is destroying their faith. And they'll walk away from it feeling disappointed and feeling even more hopeless than they did coming in. You know, it ruins whatever kind of hope they had that God can help me in this. And now they feel like not even God is real and there's nowhere else to turn. And they just give up and wind up hopeless. So we have to share with people, when we are sharing the gospel with them, we need to share with them the truth that just like Jesus said there, that in this world you will have trouble. But if we're surrendered to him and being obedient to him, he'll get us through anything this world throws at us. You know, this world throws every day. You know, it's not every once in a while we run into a problem. In today's world, you know, we run into problems every day. But when we are living for Jesus and surrender to Him, we can find hope in knowing that troubles are real, but so is God. And, you know, with Him on my side, I'm not facing all these things alone. I've got God on my side. And not only that, if we're, you know, faithful and getting involved in the church and becoming a part of the community, we have each other too as God's people to help one another. And just giving them the truth that there is still trouble, you know, that's going to build their faith, not destroy it. Letting them know that you will have help in your trouble. That's what produces hope. Hopelessness comes from feeling like there's no way out of this. There's nothing I can do. But when we tell people the truth that you're going to have trouble, but you can have help in it, and that takes away that feeling of hopelessness, and that replaces it with faith, or with faith. You know, when we begin to see God working in our circumstances and working things out, that builds your faith. No matter who you are, if you bring something to God and He works it out, that builds your faith. That you learn to start trusting God. But like I said, God don't make your problems disappear like so many people promise He will, but He does work in them and work them out in ways that we never thought were possible. And when He does that, we can experience the proof of God in our lives. That's how we learn to trust God, when we actually see Him moving in our lives. And I hear it all the time, you know, especially in recovery. You know, you'll hear testimony after testimony after testimony of people that say, you know, when I was doing things God's way, when I was obeying what God said to do, it always worked out. But when I revert back and do things my way, you know, the result don't change there either. It never works out. But we just see that over and over and over. So when we finally make that decision to just start doing what God says to do, then we can have faith that it is going to work out. It might not be the way that we planned it to work out, but He does make it work out. Josh talked about it Sunday, and we talked about it last week too. People don't just need to believe in God. We have to follow God. We have to actually do what God's Word says we need to do. It don't do us a whole lot of good to believe in God and not obey Him. That's like the verses we read last week when we started out. We were in John chapter 1, where Jesus was telling His disciples when they first came to Him, He was telling them to come and see or follow Me. And, you know, when we do follow Him and obey Him and we watch something work out, like I said, that builds up our faith. That gets us excited about our faith when we see God doing something in our lives. And we want to obey Him even more. I remember when I first came to Christ, and you know, I've told you before, a lot of the things that God was asking me to do in my life, I didn't want to do. You know, things I didn't want to give up, and classes I didn't want to go to. I wanted the blessings of God without being obedient and having to do anything myself. But when I did start being obedient in some areas of my life, I saw God do things, and that built up my faith. I was like, all right, that worked. So I wanted to be obedient even more in another area. And, you know, the more I became obedient to Him, the more I could see Him taking care of things in my life. You know, you can see results, experience results in your own life. And that's what we can share with others. Not that we're not going to have trouble, but if we do it God's way, it really does work. And like I said, you just want to try it again and again. And you'll get excited about being obedient because you know it's not in vain. So I was amazed at how God started working in my life. I don't know how you look at your problems, but when I first came to Christ and I was still going through that year program, you know, I had this picture in my head of all my problems and the mess that I made. It's like a big wad of hair, you know, like a big hairball, and trying to straighten that out. And it just, you know, it was just looked impossible to me. But that's what I would imagine. How am I going to untangle this mess? But the more I obeyed God, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to untangle all that. I watched God just one by one start straightening that stuff out. And, you know, like I said, I don't know what your life looks like to you, but that's what mine looked like to me. It looked like something that there was nothing, no way I could straighten it out on my own. And I've got a bad habit. I like to take all my problems and just pile them together and set them on a table and look at all of them at once instead of just looking at one thing. I tend to look at all of them combined and be like, what am I going to do with all this? And, you know, it gets overwhelming. You're sitting there like, wow, how am I going to handle all this? And one of the verses that really helped me with that is Psalm 46 and verse 10. You know, God says, just be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And I still use that verse today. You know, there's a lot of days where I've got so many things to do, I get overwhelmed, and I'm looking at all of them at once. And God's like, just stop. You know, what do you have right before you right now? You know, what do you need to work on right now? And when I do that, you know, it's pretty clear what I'm working on right here, right now. If I don't look at everything and just look at what's right in front of me. And then, you know, once I do stop for a second like that, then God will tell me, just work on what's right there in front of you. Focus on that. And when you get done with that, then I'll give you the next thing to focus on. And I learned that when I do that, when I focus on that one thing that God has put right before me at the time, that overwhelming feeling goes away. You know, I realize I don't have to do everything at once. I can focus on this one thing and get that done. And usually when I'm working on that one thing that God tells me to work on, then he's kind of speaking to me in my mind. You know, I'm meditating on all the other things that need done, but I'm not doing them in my mind. And by the time I get this thing done, I already know what the next thing is that I need to work on. You know, I don't have to try to figure it out. God will reveal to me, all right, you got that done. Now go work on this. And when I get to the next thing, I don't only know what it is, but God's already shown me how to do it. And I don't feel overwhelmed. But we got to take that second to just stop and say, just be still for a second and know that God is God and he's going to help you do this. And the amazing thing to me is the thing that, you know, I was talking about that I am working on right now, it's done before I know it. You know, something that I know y'all do this too. You'll worry about something and worry about it and worry about it and dread it and dread it and dread it. And then if you'll just trust God and start on it, before you know it, it's already over with. And it wasn't as confusing as you thought it would be. And you didn't have to figure it all out. It just comes together. You know, like I've done 1,000 times because my mind was focused on God and not my problems that I'm in at the time. You know, that happens to me all the time. I get overwhelmed real easy if I try to think about everything I've got to do all at once. And when we do that, our minds are running so confused, we don't have time to witness. We don't have time to share Christ with anybody. I love the verse in Isaiah in chapter 26 in verse 3. It says that he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So if our minds are focused on God, he will keep us in perfect peace because we realize I'm not in this by myself. God is in it with me. So whatever you're dealing with, do it with God on your mind. And you can know he's right there with you. You know, I share with you all the time my favorite verses. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is always with us. There's not a second in your day that he is not right there with you. And if you're truly doing that, he keeps me out of a lot of trouble because if you really have that mindset that God is right here with me and he's in your mind and in your thoughts, He'll guard your mouth for you and your actions while you're doing that. You know, if God's on your mind and in your mind, you're probably not going to be doing or saying anything that you shouldn't be because you're aware of his presence with you. And one of the biggest things I think when it comes to sharing the gospel is guidance after belief. You know, we talk about making disciples all the time. You know, give your heart to Jesus. You need to surrender your life to Christ. And you do. And we should be doing that. But I hear it all the time, especially from new believers. You know, okay, I've did that. I gave my heart to Jesus. Now what do I do? You know, we can't just tell somebody about Christ and have, you know, get them to the point where they accept him and then just leave them hanging. We can't do that. You know, we have to disciple means to teach, to help them learn about things. So, that, you know, they'll ask you, what do I do? You know, I love that demonstration that Josh did on Sunday morning with that glass of dirt. If you didn't see that, I encourage you to go look it up on Facebook or YouTube and watch that. That was really good. You know, he had the glass of dirt, and then the more water you pour in it, it just pushes the dirt out and cleanses the cup. You know, I just shared with you how I felt when I came to Christ and how my life just looked like a tangled mess. You know, that's how most people's lives look. You know, that's how they see their lives too when they come to Christ. And they're looking for guidance. You know, that's what I was looking for when I came to Christ. I knew I needed him in my life, but I needed guidance. I didn't know how to live a new life. And just like Josh's demonstration on Sunday was showing us how a steady flow of the Holy Spirit into our lives is just like that steady flow of that water into that cup. It cleanses us. And, you know, we need to be able and willing to show people how to get that flow started. We don't just need them to get them to Christ and tell them, you know, to follow me or come and see or whatever, and to just walk off and leave them standing alone. We have to help them begin a relationship with Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's talking about, in Ephesians 5, he's talking about husbands and wives, you know, how a husband ought to treat his wife and how a wife ought to treat her husband. But there's an example in there of how Christ cleanses and purifies the church. So I want to share those verses with you in Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And this is how he sanctifies his church. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So Jesus himself cleanses the church through the word of God. And if we're just telling people that Jesus loves you, give your heart to Jesus, but not introducing them to the word of God, then they still don't have any direction. You know, it's the word of God that reveals to us which way we need to go. You know, David says in Psalms that your word is a lamp to my feet, you know, a light to my path. And that we share these verses with people all the time in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Almost on a weekly basis, you'll hear either me or Josh or somebody is sharing these. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not under your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." You know, we quote that all the time. But quoting that to somebody, that don't help them if they don't know how to acknowledge God in all their ways. We have to show them. We have to explain to them what that means is, you know, find out what God's word says about whatever situation you're in. You know, not every situation that people get into is a cookie-cutter situation. You know, my life's different than yours. Your problems are different than mine. We've got to explain to them. Those verses mean whatever you're going through, search God's word. See what it says about it. That's what it means. In all your ways, acknowledge him. find out what God's word says about it, and then it'll tell you what to do about it. And that's how you get direction from God's word. You know, we have to show them and explain to them, not just quote a verse to them and hope they figure it out. But once we do see what God's word says about it, we need to obey what his word says. You know, like I said, all of our problems are different. Okay, I need to look in God's word and figure out what it says about my situation and be obedient to it. And then the next question usually is, okay, where's that in the Bible? And, you know, those are all good questions. And those are questions we had, too, when we first came to Christ. You know, we didn't know where anything was in the Bible. We can't just tell people, well, see what God's word says about it. Help them to figure out where to find it in the Bible. You know, we got to be willing to walk with people and teach them how to begin a relationship with God for themselves. You know, a good way to do that is to, you know, with a daily devotional. You know, we've got devotionals for new believers, and I'm a firm believer in those. You know, when I first came to Christ, I got one, and that helps you every day. It gives you a starting point of, you know what, today I can read this in Scripture. It gets you familiar with God's Word, and it helps you grow and become familiar with it, and that way you can look up answers for yourself and find the direction that you're looking for. And day to day, you can grow in your knowledge of God. You know, I think Josh shared these verses on Sunday. Or no, he didn't share these ones. I think he shared John 8:36, where it says the Son will set you free. But in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are indeed my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So he says if we continue in his word, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But we have to get in the word and know the truth before it sets us free. So that's why we have to help people get introduced to God's word. You know, invite them to a small group or spend time with them personally and help them come up with a reading plan to get familiar with the Bible. You know, I say it all the time, not just on Wednesday nights, but on a daily basis when I'm talking to people, the best way to learn the Bible and to, you know, to get into fellowship with other believers is to serve. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on at church. We've got all kinds of ministries like KOZ. We've got CR on Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights. Monday, there's a class that you can go to with Josh. On Thursdays, we have a class that you can go to. Actually, two classes on Thursday. There's always something going on. I know when I first came to Christ, I didn't trust myself because I had, you know, over and over again, I would left to myself. I'd go right back to my old ways, and I just fell over and over and over. So the last time I really meant it when I came to Christ, I came to church every day, whether there was anything going on or not. I would just come over here and work or pick up trash out of the parking lot or whatever. You know, I had to be that committed to it. I had to be here. If I wasn't here, I knew where I would be, and that would be getting into trouble. So I had to make it a point to seek God every day. So not only do we need to get familiar with the Bible, we need to get connected with other believers and start hanging around people that are going the same direction that we want to be going, that we need to be going. And I think the reason we don't see more discipling in the church as a whole, you know, worldwide, not just at Grace, is that, you know, we're not in the Bible ourselves the way that we should be. And I'm not going to ask you to, but if I were to ask you, you know, how many of you read your Bibles every day, and how many of you have read your Bible every day this week, you know, I'd say there would be a few of us that wouldn't be able to raise their hands. You know, I'm guilty myself of not reading my Bible probably as much as I should. I mean, I do read my Bible every day, but a lot of days it's just my devotions and, you know, nothing more than that. So I need to work on reading my Bible more. But I think as Christians, especially if we're going to call ourselves followers of Christ, we should be in the Word every day. But like I said, I'm not picking on you. I'm picking on myself, too. I should be reading my Bible a whole lot more. And that's one of the things that God is currently working on me about. So we've got to help people when they come to Jesus. You know, help them to show them how to get in His Word and get familiar with His Word. And show them how to be obedient to His Word. That sounds self-explanatory, but it's not. You know, they might read a verse and not fully understand it. And, you know, how are you going to obey something that you don't understand? Or, you know, how about prayer? That's one of the things I didn't know a whole lot about when I came to Christ. Even Jesus had to teach His disciples how to pray. And, you know, once we've been in church for a while, we take for granted that everybody knows these things, and they don't. You know, those, they have to be taught just like we had to be taught. And I believe another big thing that's not shared with people a lot in most churches is telling them, you know, when they come to Christ, that there has to be change in our lives. You know, just like that cup was full of dirt when Josh started his demonstration Sunday and the water began to wash it out. When we come to Christ, you know, we need to tell people there's going to be things in your life that you've got to be willing to get rid of. If you were here just a couple of months ago, you know, we were talking about in John chapter 5 where that guy at the pool, you know, Jesus asked him the question, do you really want to be made whole? And a lot of people come to church looking for help, looking for relief, but they're not willing to make any changes in their life. So if we're truly going to share the gospel, we need to tell people, when you come to Christ, you got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to let God remove or wash away the things in our lives that shouldn't be there. You got to be willing to let those things go. I know I talk about recovery a lot, but coming to Christ and going into recovery are a lot alike. You know, we got to be willing to submit to God and give Him the authority of what is or what is not allowed in our lives. You know, if my decisions and my authority were good enough, then I wouldn't need God. I wouldn't need to come to Christ and submit myself to Him and surrender to Him. You know, I could make good decisions on my own, but we can't. And, you know, that's why we got to make God the authority in our lives. Celebrate Recovery's got 8 principles, and we were going over some of these last night. In Principle 5, that's exactly what it says. It says we have to voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. And that's that, you know, when we're coming to Christ, that's all that is we're going into life recovery. We're going from my will to your will. And we got to be willing to let God remove the things from my life that are not of His will, that are of my will. So we have to submit our will to His and let God make the changes that He wants to make. You know, Jesus talks about that in Luke chapter 6. I've shared these with you before, but they go right along with what I'm talking about tonight. And I'm sure a lot of you, if you've been in church or even outside of church, some people heard these verses, you know, talking about build your house on a rock or build your house on sinking sand. But that's what these verses are talking about in Luke chapter 6. And the very first one really gets my attention. This is talking about being obedient. You know, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? And a lot of people, they don't put the, you know, that story together about building your house on rock or on sand with obedience. But that's exactly what he's talking about. He says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings or learns the truth in my word, like we've been talking about, and does them, I'll show to you who he is like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not, or somebody that, you know, finds out what God's word says and don't obey it, is like a man that without a foundation builds a house upon the earth or upon sand, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know, I told you that I had to start over a few times because I'd find out what God's word did say, and then I would go back and do things my way, even though I knew I was being disobedient. And, you know, the result was always the same. The ruin of that house was great. Every time I'd go right back down to the pit where I came from. But when I actually did start doing like he said in the verse before that, and obeying what he told me, that's when things work out. That's what the house built on a rock is talking about. When we be obedient to God, the things work out. And I know we're talking about witnessing to other people and sharing our faith, but first we have to worry about our own faith. You know, Jesus said we got to get the log out of our own eye before we can worry about the speck in anybody else's. So we not only need to help people get familiar with God's word, we need to, you know, fully express to them it's only going to produce fruit in your life if you obey it. And, you know, I'm getting to that here in a second, but if we're going to tell them that, we've got to be doing it ourselves too. You know, a lot of us been in church for a while, and like I said a while ago, we take for granted people know these things, and they don't. You know, they have to learn it just like we did. I love these verses in James, and James is not writing these things to unbelievers. He's not writing this to lost people. If you'll read the beginning of the book of James, he's sending this out to the 12 tribes of Israel that are scattered among the nations, he said. But in James 1 in verse 22, he's telling them, and remember, he's telling this to churchgoers, believers in Christ. He says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So it's not enough to know God's word. We've got to do what it says. We have to be obedient to it. I told you earlier, I had a different message for tonight. I was going to preach on Joab tonight. He's been on my mind all week. If you don't know who Joab was, he was the captain of the host of King David's army. But when I sat down this morning to get this message ready for tonight, you know, God laid it on my heart to go back and go over this again. Because for people to follow us, we got to be going ourselves. And, you know, I see so many frustrated people, and I believe it's because we've just got in a routine of going through the motions of church as a whole. And like I said, I'm not picking on Grace. I'm talking about the church worldwide. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, I've been thinking about that verse all week too. I believe that's why God changed my message tonight. You know, how many got me to thinking, how many of us are just stopped seeking him and just got in a routine of just going to church and not actively seeking God, not actively pursuing God? And how many of us have let our relationship with Christ slide down our list of priorities? You know, when we come to Christ, we're on fire for him, and he's up here at the top of the list, and we put him first. And I think we get comfortable in our faith, and without even knowing it, you know, we'll put something else up there, and then something else, and then something else. And, you know, before we know it, God moved all the way back down here. And You know, we let our relationship with Jesus grow cold. We're no longer seeking him. We're just going through the motions. And, you know, it's hard to disciple somebody like that if that's the condition that we're in. You know, we had a seminar last Saturday here at the church, and the main thing in that was a Christ-centered life. You know, it had a wheel diagram, and, you know, you could either have yourself at the center or you can have Christ at the center. When we've got ourselves at the center, then, you know, we're not actually living for God anymore. We've went back to our own understanding and doing things our way, and that's when we're not seeing God move in our lives like we used to. We have to keep Christ in the center where he's supposed to be. You know, it's not enough to just have Christ in our lives. He's got to be the center of our lives. He has to be Lord. So, you know, like I said, we've got to ask ourselves a very real question. You know, what is my relationship with Jesus like right now? You know, that's what I was asking myself Saturday during that seminar. You know, is he truly in the center of my life? Or is there something that I've put above him? And it's real easy to put service above him if we're not careful. Real easy to put our job above him, or our family members, our kids, or, you know, whatever that looks like for you. Whatever's getting most of your attention is there's a good possibility it could be above God on our priority list. And that affects our witness, you know, when we're sharing it with others. You know, is my relationship with Jesus really powerful? You know, like we tell everybody it is, or do we go home and, you know, maybe that's not the truth. Maybe it's not really that powerful. You know, am I reading his word every day? Am I serving him? You know, like I told you last week, you know, we can't share something that we don't have ourselves. So if you're not seeing God move in your life, we've got to do like Paul says, and he's writing this to the church too. So, you know, he's not writing this to lost people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul tells the church in Corinth, he says, you need to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove to your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. What he's saying is, you know, check yourself. If Jesus Christ is not in you, in the center of your heart, where he's supposed to be, then maybe you need to take a look at your faith. And like I said, next week, if God lets me, we'll be talking about Joab. And once we get into that message next week, it's a message about commitment, not only being committed to God and truly being submitted to Jesus as Lord and following him and serving him and being obedient to him, but it's also about, you know, being committed to church and making it a point. You know, it's not something that I debate. If it's Sunday morning, we're going to church. If it's, you know, if I have a class on Thursday, I'm going to be there. You know, get your priority list back to where it needs to be so that we can lead other people to him. And not only lead them to him, but walk with them and help them to understand him more. And I learn more and more, the more we do that, that keeps us where we need to be in our relationship with him. That's why service is so important. And like Josh was announcing a while ago, I'm excited about this weekend. We've got people coming from West Tennessee called the Dream Center. They're going to do, they're calling it Encounter Nights. You know, we started to call it Revival, but for some reason they wanted to call it Encounter Nights, and they're just coming to share what God has done in their lives. And I hope you'll be here for that. It starts Friday night at 6:30, and then it'll be, you know, to 8:30, and then Saturday night from 6:30 to 8:30, and then back here on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You know, we went out there, I guess it's been probably 10 or 11 years ago, to that place, and it was just amazing what God was doing in those women's lives back then. And I think a lot of us have probably gone cold in our relationship with Christ. You know, I was looking at my relationship with him. You know, I first came to Christ, truly surrendered to him 6 years ago. I mean, I was just so excited about everything that he was doing in my life. You know, it was like it was just electric. And I couldn't wait to read my Bible. I couldn't wait to go to class. I couldn't wait to do all these things. And then the more as time goes on, you know, I realize Saturday, I'm not as excited as I used to be. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to stand up here and admit. But, you know, I used to be a whole lot more on fire for God than I am now. You know, I feel like I'm closer to him than I was. But a lot of the excitement, I think, has came out of it. And I think that's the case for a lot of us. So, you know, if your relationship with Christ is cold, then, you know, that's something we need to address. It's hard to expect somebody else to get excited about Christ if we're not excited ourselves. And like I said, that's really hard to get up here and preach something like that, a message like that, but that's what God laid on my heart this morning. So I feel like that's what I've got to share with you. So if your relationship with Jesus has grown cold, you know, do like Paul said and examine yourself and find out why it's going, you know, getting cold. What in your life is taking your focus off of him and putting it onto whatever that is? You know, I tell you all the time, you can bring it to God and be honest with him. He's not going to be mad at you. And he's not going to get on you. He's just going to be glad that you brought it to him and that you take your relationship with him that seriously. God loves it when you do that because he don't want you to continue going that way. And if you love Jesus, you don't want to continue going that way. You know, James 1 and verse 5, God says if we lack wisdom, ask God, and he gives to all men liberally and upbraids them not, and it shall be given to him. So, you know, if you're like me and you can see that, you know, my relationship with God could probably use some attention, then bring it to him. Be honest with him. Tell him about that. And he won't get on you for bringing it to him. He'll help you with it. And I think it's a good thing to tell somebody else too. James 5:16. Tells us to talk to each other about these things. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And we can pray for each other. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So talk with somebody about it and get your relationship with Christ back where it needs to be. I really think God's about to do some amazing things here at the church. And I think he's telling all of us, you know, wake up. Let's get ready for these things. And I know that's what he's telling me, but I feel like he wants me to share it with all of us. And, you know, I tell you all the time that we can't fool children. You know, what they see us doing is what they're going to do. But in reality, we're all God's children. You know, if we're going to share the gospel, we've got to be living it for other people to believe it, just like we can't fool kids, you know, at home that live with us. We can't fool people at church either. You know, if I'm not living what I preach, then it's going to show. And if I'm sharing Christ with somebody, inviting them into a relationship with him, then they're going to know whether or not I have a relationship with him. So we've got to practice what we preach. And like I said, that's not easy to get up here and preach, but that is what God laid on my heart. And I think that's something we all need to really think about this week. Am I really living for God? Or am I just going through the motions? And like I said, that's not pointed out towards any one person or any group or anything like that. That's what God laid on my heart to share. And I hope that helps you to take a good look at your relationship with God and where you are in your walk with Christ. And I hope it does reveal something in your life that needs to change. You know, God revealed a few things to me in my life that I can change and get a little closer to him like I used to be. you know, some things that I used to do that I've slacked off on, and some new things that I need to pick up. But, like I always try to share at the end of a message, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, that is the first step. It's just as important to recommit your life as it is to come to Christ. So if that's you tonight, it goes the same way. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. You got to confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you believe Jesus died for your sins and that he came back to life on the third day, tell somebody, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. And, share that with your mouth. And God says, when you do that and truly humble yourself and surrender your will to his, you are saved. But for him to be Lord of our lives, like I've been telling you, you have to obey him. You can't say no, Lord. If he's Lord, the answer is yes. So we have to find out what his word says and be obedient to it. And, a lot of y'all know my past. Some of you don't. If you're watching online, I've got a pretty rough past. But Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's nobody that's messed up too bad. Nobody's too dirty. And I share Romans 5:8 every week too. You know, God don't tell us to get cleaned up and come to him. It says that God showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves you right there where you're at, no matter where that is. Just come to him and tell him, I love you, Jesus, and I do believe you died for me and paid for my sins. I want to make you Lord of my life, and he'll accept you right there. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to any of that. You can be sitting in your car, on your couch, wherever. All you got to do is surrender your will to his. He'll meet you right there. But like I said, if this is the day that you are giving your life to Christ, tell somebody about it. Confess it with your mouth, and you will be saved. But nobody's too dirty for God to give you a new life. He gave me a new life. And next week, like I said, we'll get into the message on Joab. I was looking forward to preaching that tonight, but God stopped me from that and wanted me to go over all this stuff. I really hope that helps somebody tonight. It's got me focused more on my relationship with Christ and not just, Travis says it all the time, people over process. And I think that's what we do a lot. Especially if you're in ministry, we get so busy, we forget there's people involved. We forget it's a relationship with Jesus. It's not just service. It's an actual relationship with him. So I hope that gets you looking at your relationship with him this week. And that's all I got for tonight. Thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online. I hope that helps you, and I hope it helps you draw closer to Christ. But let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed, and I'll see you next week. God, thank you for helping me get up here and share that message tonight. I thank you for showing me the areas in my life that I need to work on, Lord, and to draw back closer to you and get that passion and that desire back to serve you and to share you with others. And God, I just pray that as a whole for all of us, that you'll help us to seek you, Lord. Your word we just read says you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. And I pray that you'd help us to do that this week, God. Just pursue you with everything in us. Get in your word every day and pray and talk with you and spend time with you. Fellowship with one another, Lord, and encourage one another to do these things. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us the courage to apply this to our lives and grow. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.